one that I think you could pick up around here. So, okay, yes, there are other ones down there. There's stations in San Diego, and I forget which one in L.A., but there's a San Diego station, KOGO, K-O-G-O, or something like that. That's a good one that he's on all the time. So
this Friday?
This Friday night. But I'll try to tape it, so if you can't get it, I'll try to. Brent has arranged for me to have a small machine now that I can stick near the radio. I have a couple antennas that help me pull in the station fairly evenly, so I can get a pretty good copy if the machine doesn't conk out or anything like that, or they don't blast the house with something. So that's Scallion. Now let's get to the letter. I guess one other thing I'd say about Scallion was that what was remarkable when he was on Art the other night was not only was Art Bell scared by him because his credentials were so well placed, in other words, he's had so many predictions come true, but I think Art was a little scared because even his audience was more well-behaved. Nobody was calling in to ask him crazy questions. People were calling in with very serious kinds of questions about the Earth changes that were coming. And Gordon Michael went into his background, how he got into it, how he literally had to be put flat on his back and lose his voice in order to kind of become aware of what his next job was going to be. So it's a very interesting story, which he may repeat, about how he got into this around 1979. Now, what I received the other day was, under the subject of letters, a letter from a guy by the name of Richard Sauder, S-A-U-D-E-R. And he, the reason I wrote him a letter myself, because he was on Art Bell's Dreamland about 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night, and he had done a very good presentation on underground bases, the first time Art Bell had ever allowed the subject of underground bases to be on the radio on his show, and this is probably the most avant-garde nationally syndicated radio show. And some of Sauder's information was quite good, some of it was quite naive, and yet there were a couple places during the evening when Art tried to push him into very conventional and, if I were to say, Khazarian viewpoints, such as, well, didn't we need to drop the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki because it was our men who were in trouble, would have had to stay in the war and blah, blah, blah. Sauder defended his position against nuclear weapons quite well and quite articulately, and both Callie and I, who were listening from different areas of the country, came to the conclusion he must be part of the ground crew even if he doesn't know it, because of the spiritual component that was coming through in his holding his ground with Art Bell. So it was because of that that I took the time to write him a note and send him some of our recent papers, including the one on underground bases, which we run all the time. And the underground bases material there was material that Commander provided for us by tape while watching this map, looking at this map, while Dharma was in a state of translation. Commander went through the maps and gave us state by state, you'll remember this material, state by state, all of the underground bases material. Well, so I sent the information to Sauder, and what came back was the following letter, and it said, "Dear Dr. Young, what is the Hatton nonsense? Orbiting Galactic Commander, my eye, you ought to be ashamed. In your January 10, 95 issue of Contact, you have again commenced reprinting the first edition of my book, Underground Bases and Tunnels, What is the Government Trying to Hide? I refer you to the second paragraph of my November 1993 letter, to you a copy of which I have enclosed." Now, in that letter, when I ran the underground bases in the November 9 issue, 1993, of Contact, he yapped at us, even though the only material that was his was very carefully worded and very honoring by Commander. Commander used the foreword to his book, and it is very clearly noted. If you look in the paper, I'm very careful about notation of quoting and end of quoting and giving proper credit. And Commander gave him all kinds of credit, including saying, please go get this book. And that's all we used from his book was the foreword. And that was run in that November 9, 93 issue of Contact in front of our usual underground bases material. And in this letter I supposedly received on the 19th of November, 93, I don't remember it, Rick does. He says, please don't be taking large portions from my book, and please don't use any more of it. I don't want you to be using it, blah, blah, blah. One of those kinds of letters. So that's what he's referring to here. He says, let there be no doubt about where we stand on this matter. I'm back to the letter I just got. I am asking you to cease and desist your serial installments of my book in your newspaper or in any other matter published by you or Mr. Green, a.k.a. Hatton, or anyone else affiliated with Contact, the Phoenix Project, the Phoenix Journals, the Phoenix Source Publishers, etc., or any other publishing shell you and your cronies have established. For the record, please note that Hatton does not speak for me. Never has and never will.
Right. Even I talk.
I ask that you never make such a claim again. I didn't make any claim such as that. There is a legal point here, colon. I have not authorized any such role for you or Mr. Green, and you must cease and desist from representing yourself or Hatton as my spokesman. Signed, Richard Sauter. Now, I got this letter by a mode that I didn't even know existed, and it's called restricted delivery. It couldn't even be signed over at Old Town Postal where my mail goes. I had to traipse down to the damn post office and sign for the thing with an ID right in front of the post lady there in order to get this letter. No, I thought it was either a summons for arrest or an uncle, rich uncle had died, and you know I was going to be able to pay the rent next month. So instead it was this stupid thing. So I was fuming over it all day, and I did some checking, and then I sat down that evening with whoever unseen friends were standing on either side of me, and we wrote the following letter. Dear Richard, your restricted delivery letter arrived earlier today, and so I did some checking before sitting down this evening to write you a reply. As I've already said, I really admired the way you handled the situation on Art Bell's show a few weeks ago, and given what spiritual underpinnings I thought I heard there, I was a bit puzzled or maybe shocked by what you wrote. Frankly, I don't quite know where to begin, and sincerely hope your underground basis research is conducted with more accuracy, thoroughness, and professional objectivity than is reflected in your comments to me in your letter. It's hard to know where to begin. To clear the air, let me first state that I do not remember ever seeing your 11/19/93 letter. Believe me, if I had, I would have remembered it and you. As it is, your appearance on Art's Dreamland show was the first I recall being aware of you. Secondly, the CIA plant and Robotoid, and in parentheses I have, and yes, that is a technically accurate statement, whether you even know what I mean or not, who currently goes by the name of, quote, George Green, end quote, stopped trying to locally corrupt and derail our genuine work here of getting out the truth of what has befallen this planet when he left town in June of 1992. I came on board as editor of the newspaper in May of 1992, appointed by Commander Hatton, and you can be sure I would put up with none of George's nonsense. Where have you been? Or do I have to infer from your language that you get all of your data from the usual misinformation effluent that streams from the so-called UFO research community? This is a crowd that won't come near those of us who truly know what is going on, and to the thinking man, that says a lot. Thirdly, and hold on to your data banks, the Intergalactic Federation fleet, upon which the Star Trek TV show was based, headed by Commander Yorgos Sirius Hatton, is quite real, as you would surely know by now if you either had a sufficiently high security clearance within the machinery of the cancerous affairs plaguing this planet, or had more reliable data upon which to chew, such as would be gained simply from a careful observation of the sky on a clear night. I have worked with a number of these higher beings for over 20 years that I am consciously aware of, long before I was asked by Commander Hatton to take over this newspaper, and their presence is quite real. Quite real. My background is highly advanced and technical, particularly in several areas of electrical engineering, material science, physics, quantum and free energy, geophysics, and psychotronics, among other more dangerous pursuits conducted especially at such so-called premier institutions, which I have little respect for once you know what's going on, as Stanford and MIT's Lincoln Laboratory think tank, by invitation in both places, the latter requiring a relatively high security clearance. So without wanting to embarrassingly get further into just how potent are my credentials and abilities, I think I could safely say I know what I'm talking about. And thus, to reverse your letter's unfortunately juvenile opening acidic comment, you ought to be ashamed to be making such ridiculously naive statements as you did to me in areas where you're probably out of your depth and humorously deficient of the facts. Indeed, you know as little as you do about the overall picture. Indeed, to know as little as you do about the overall picture while delving into the truly dangerous subject of underground bases is as potentially unfortunate as watching a six-year-old attempt to explore the high-voltage section of a television receiver.
And Dr. Young should know about that, too.
Even when he was six, yes. Now that bit of bookkeeping is out of the way, let's get into the underground bases subject. I checked back into my records and can tell you that we first ran material on underground bases in the July 7th, 1992 issue of Contact's predecessor, the Phoenix Liberator. The next time that identical material was presented was in the May 11, 93 issue of Contact. And then I have, as an aside, the Phoenix Liberator died and Contact was born the week of March 30th, 1993 because, I might add, of the continuing attacks by George Green from his new location, executing schemes to attempt to stop the truth from being able to be gotten out by us. Remember a wise intelligence saying, quote, you ain't on the right track if you ain't catching flack, end of quote, or the great motto that MOM, the militia of Montana, uses, which is, quote, no intelligence has been properly verified until it has been officially denied, end of quote. Indeed, these are voices of experience. The next time we ran the same underground bases material, the third time now, was in that 11/9/93 issue of Contact, the issue of the paper to which you first refer in your November 1993 letter, the one I've seen for the first time today. You then refer back to that presentation, the 11/9/93 presentation of ours, again in your current letter to me. Now, for the first time, along with that November 1993 running of the underground bases material, the third time we've run it, it was preceded by a very kind and honoring writing about you and your book by Commander Hatton, dated November 2nd, 93, number 1. Early in that writing, before introducing you, Commander asked us to, quote, pull out our prior writings on this subject, end of quote, to follow his alerting our readers to your excellent book. So that is what we ran, again, for the third time now, after he extracted a short excerpt from your book, specifically the foreword. Now, your book was apparently sent to him, which is inferred from the way he phrased his intro about you, probably by one of our readers. You have to understand something here. We get a huge volume of mail that is beyond belief, and just about all of it, your current letter accepted, is positive, sincerely thankful for what we do under conditions of great adversity and poverty, with this mail generally radiating support in every way imaginable. When such mail contains material on a subject Commander Hatton says is correct and timely, and which he wishes to utilize, usually with his own parenthetical comments inserted, the authors almost invariably say, of course, use it any all you want. I just want to get the facts out there for the people. Thank you for using my work. I'm honored. This reaction we have found over and over again by experience is consistently the response of those truly working for the goal of spreading truth and within the larger working umbrella of the higher brotherhood. I won't get into judging those 1% whose motives and reactions are more materially oriented, though such selfish reactions do stand out quite vividly in contrast to the above. Whenever that negative case arises, since we always ask permission about material if we are sent any reference to author with the mailing, we just don't use the material. It's that simple. In fact, it's not an issue. Because if the subject is one that needs to get out there for the people at this time of planetary reclamation and transition, someone else always seems to come along with similar material who does enthusiastically grant permission to utilize. Quite simply, that's just how God works. Now, where I'm confused is where I sense you are inferring that our older material on underground bases, beginning with a writing by Commander Hatton on January 1st of 1992, and continuing on this subject in writings on March 5th and 6th of 92, is somehow your material. Since your book was not brought to any of our attentions, and certainly not mine, by Commander Hatton or anyone else until his November 2nd, 93 writing, I don't know what to conclude or say without further clarification from you. At least you were kind and honest enough to admit, and then parentheses I have, because we know our readers and would predict that, in your 11/19/93 letter, the commander's mention, mere mention of your work at that time, brought you some encouraging notes for your work as well as some book sales from our readers. To give you a generic example of where or how such things as you're alluding to could have gone wrong, when George Green was still here and seemingly behaving somewhat decently, say in 1991, people at his speaking engagements often gave him material to turn over to Commander Hatton to utilize if and as Commander so desired. If that material had no author identification on it, and in parentheses I have, or George removed same to set us up for a fall, something we later discovered we had to deal with many times, end the parentheses, and Commander used it because of its importance as material to be gotten out to the public, then we always tried to make amends once we later found out the author and encountered any problems with same. However, Commander Hatton's translator secretary, Dharma, says, I just checked with her a few hours ago, she remembers having to do the underground bases material that we utilize as an audio tape because all she had was like a AAA road atlas, and it was easier to let Commander speak while he visually looked over the map pages than to try to do her more usual typing format because of the distraction and difficulty of retaining the lock on his transmission into her head while fumbling with both maps and keyboard. The tape was then transcribed for the main underground bases material we use. I think that way back, George may have been given the photos we always run in that spread. We run those because they are from right over the hill from us, literally right over the other side of the mountain from my house, besides being quite startling and representative of the general case. So we need to talk to clear up what you are actually mad about and what you perceive to be our infringement on your material. Call me at home, blah, 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 and let's talk about this if it would help. Meanwhile, I would like to turn this around to something positive. As your anger is not consistent with the spiritual integrity which I and others listening from Arizona perceived in you from your dreamland appearance, and it's certainly not warranted with respect to how I or others here conduct our affairs. We are too busy helping a vast readership become informed of all the shenanigans the crooks are doing to collapse this once great nation. The underground bases subject is only one aspect of that overall picture in our educational mission. And if your intentions are of the same high caliber as ours, then there's no reason to be wallowing in squabbles or perceived unjust actions. We don't make any money at what we do, as you could readily calculate from just the subscription cost of contact versus postage costs alone. And remember, we do not accept advertising. However, I would sincerely like to offer to put an announcement, and I have in parentheses, while we don't accept paid advertising, we do share information we deem worth sharing. I would put that in several upcoming issues of Contact to let our readers know about your new book on underground bases. You couldn't ask for a better audience than our readership. Just ask the often annoyed and startled crooks when we ask our readers to write to shine a spotlight, the pen is indeed mightier than the sword, on some antic the crooks in high places are up to. We have rescued many a courageous truth bringer from dire plans by shining such a spotlight on the crooks' evil deeds. If you will send me some camera-ready copy with what you'd like to run, we will be glad to push your new book. Maybe that would help you to get your important message of truth out there in a way that helps you with financial support also. Again, please call me if you would like to talk, and please send us a book announcement to share with our readers. Kindest regards. Sign me.
After you've written your book.
Heaven help him if he calls.
He won't get his tail out from between his legs for a month.
Yeah.
This is what gets response. We had to struggle along while we had to live with unseen energies. But now, you see, you have accomplished what we set out to accomplish. It doesn't mean we're through. It means that we're basically over the hurdle. We've grown up. We're respected. And nobody has to consider whether or not there is some unseen energy here. You see, let's focus on Hatton and George Green, a.k.a. blah, 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 dum, dum, dum.
How true.
You don't need that distraction. You've grown up in your own right. And you must stand forth and do exactly what he has done, what he knows. See, he can professionally respond. You don't need the distraction of trying to explain that some 9-foot something seems to know it all. I know where to go look and point you in the directions. I don't want the credit. You don't need the credit for the information, only the ability to produce such a fine piece of paper so that people can go into the books and get their confirmation. Nobody is going to go pull out of the archive somewhere Ramses' Bible. I even stumble over the title, don't I? You're not going to find people going back to dig out a paper by Eustace Mullins that was right on. There will be the little groups that will have these things. It's a time of remembering. You don't need any new writers for the same old information, but you've got them. And I would tell you this, and this is for Dr. Salter. There isn't any new information. I would say this for the University of Science and Philosophy. I respect Dr. Russell. That is not new information. And yet the spiritual light of God, the thought projection of God in a spiritual nature, is not humanist. And that is the way the University of Science and Philosophy and Lau projected Dr. Russell as being a humanist. And his ideal truth was Mary Baker Eddy. I'm not quarreling with that. But that's what makes the difference in the information and our work. And that's why we could have gone right on and fought this through. And if you had a fair judicial system, there would be no question about winning. I feel there's no question about winning right now. But I don't want them as an enemy. I don't want this fine work buried because we're enemies. And by stopping while we are not total enemies, all we had to do was agree not to rewrite or write or use these particular volumes. I don't have any problem with that, and Dorma certainly doesn't. 9 out of 120 some odd books, volumes of magazines, are not to even be considered. And this was a very narrow case. That one and this one. That's the only place the agreement is. These have never copyrighted anything. And I want to go on record right now that these two will never again do anything with those volumes. As far as I'm concerned, they are a total loss because they show a false copyright in the front for Mr. Green. But information of truth is there. The very information that you need is being done by Tom Astley in South Africa. And he's been kind enough to just pour it on to us. But I'll tell you something else. These two are not even going to use that. These two will never again give them cause to come against anybody. But you see, there is a problem. They can sign everything away, but they didn't have to start with. They can agree not to do these things, but the actual property belonged to the Institute. So I want it to be on record right now, today, because these two have signed the document, finally. After much consideration. Because, quite frankly, George Green filed bankruptcy of the publication company, and he put them down as total loss, 100%. That means that he has paid nothing, he intends to pay nothing, he will never pay anything. On his own agreement. And I believe that that is wrong. Morally wrong. He betrayed his own people, made an agreement with them, and now betrays them. I believe that's morally wrong. But that's their problem. That is their problem. On the same level of circumstances, however, if they need witnesses to handle that problem in the future, I see no way except to be available. You see, there is a big distraction about some Commander Hatton who George Green claimed went with him to Nevada. And that's where you get the problem with these people like Dr. Sauder. They hear this on Bogratz's program, 12-foot lizards. They're looking for a cult. And they find nothing. They try to get inside your mind to find out who runs what. And they do it in such a way that they break you down. And I want to tell you something. After the meeting the other day, Dorma went home and said, "Oh my God, EJ, I am so glad it was us under interrogation by Horton and Abbott, because we at least knew enough not to tell." It isn't a matter of lying. It isn't even a matter of telling. It is a matter of truth. They want all the information that is none of their business under the law. And if you cannot do this properly, then somebody else has to do it. Does everybody understand me? I said this right off the first day. Use the tools. Use the tools so that you can be on a witness stand under oath. And I'm not talking about the Kol Nidre. But you should have seen Horton's face when Dorma said, "What am I swearing to? The Bible, the Koran, the Torah, the Kol Nidre? What do you mean? My word's enough." But the next day, Horton said, "What is this Kol Nidre?" And then I took over.
Excuse me.
He forgot all about it.
Excuse me. Let me turn the tape.
This is the end of the meeting. There are no more tapes.